708, and we're here with the CEO and some friends. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well this morning. How are you this morning?
You know, I'm making it. I'm making it. Wait for that long weekend to come up.
Yeah.
Got a lot of travel plans set.
Good.
So.
Yeah.
That's what we got planned.
Please forgive me for showing up in PT gear and not in uniform, but this morning, the Chief Selects kicked off final night, and they were kind enough to swing by my house a little before 6 o'clock and invite me to join them for a bit this morning.
They just like knocked on your door and said, sir?
No, they just sang really loudly throughout the neighborhood. So for everybody who's waiting to put in a nice comment about those people who were being discourteous and singing at the top of their lungs, that is an incredible part of the conclusion, the culmination of 6 weeks of the season for our Chief Selects. It was really cool to be a part of that, and I'm really excited to see the rest of the transition over the rest of the day.
Well, I know that we're going into a different transition. We're starting off in fall.
We are.
What do we have planned coming up?
So fall brings a lot of, I got to say, this is my favorite time of year. I was thinking about it yesterday as I stepped out, and it was just a little bit cool as we get away from all the heat and the Levantes. It's a fun transition. The kids are back in school, so I think we finally got our rhythms as most families with children who are going to DGF, and they've met their teachers, they know their classes, or doing extracurriculars, or soccer going on, the swim club has got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So it's a great transition period from the summertime when everybody's focused on a little bit of downtime in the beach. We had the chance to thank the Ombudsman for all the work that they do just a couple of weeks ago. That was a great lunch where we brought all of them up and just said thank you. For those who don't really think about what the Ombudsman do, they are an integral part of any command, and their ability to keep the families informed, keep them engaged and connected with their sailors who are out doing their work. So thank you to all the Ombudsman.
Yeah, it's important that we give like a little bit of appreciation for them, because as far as I know, it's not a paid job.
It is not. Yeah. It is a volunteer job. All of them have their own lives, and they set that aside for just a little bit. Sometimes a lot, especially with our ships as they deploy, and with the squadron as they send their detachments out, and the Air Force as they start to flow through here. We have a lot of really engaged and amazing people who are acting as our Ombudsman. September... It's also National Preparedness Month, so I had the chance to sign a proclamation that reinforces just how important it is that our entire National Preparedness team is ready. Our emergency management staff, the fire and emergency services, people like our dispatchers, folks that we don't think about a whole lot, who are they're critical to our the safety and security of everybody on the installation. Suicide Prevention Month. So I had the chance to roll out a bunch of different programs. Fleet and Family Support engaged with MWR to do some really interesting and engaging activities to present all the tools that people have to make sure that they're safe and let people know that there's a lot of different resources, a lot of different people who would like to talk with them. excuse me. And we also had, of course, the September 11th, the 9.11 kilometer run, and the September 11th memorial that we had on September 11th. And one thing I would like to reinforce here on the radio that I had the chance to say there's a lot of people who still vividly remember what happened on September 11th. But I would imagine as I look to this side of the room, to the folks behind the counter, right, it wasn't quite the same event for you guys as it is for the three of us here, because we were in uniform. We were already part of service when it happened. And then there was a huge wave of folks who joined because of September 11th. But we're kind of past that bow wave now. The people who joined the military now, while 9/11 has informed so much of the way that we have crafted our policy, the way that we fought our wars, the folks who join now didn't join as part of any response to 9/11. You guys have very different reasons for joining the military. Speaking of transitions, we are on the cusp of a major transformation in the way that our Navy, the philosophy that we use, the motivation that we have, the way that we put our Navy together and our policies and our strategies. It was a huge reminder to me as I looked out in that audience. There are so many people right now who join the military for very different reasons, it's something that's very powerful to me. The more that I look at it,
yeah.
So it a lot of interesting transition stuff that we had last month. And then moving forward, we've got Oscar Austin showing up in just a little bit. So we're close enough now that I can clearly state that on October 14th, Oscar Austin will arrive. So we will have our fifth destroyer here with us in Rota. And then on October 16th, we will have the chance to have a large ceremony with some distinguished visitors who come here to officially welcome her here. And Oscar Austin is a critical piece. I think I've said that word twice, and I'm going to try and stop saying that the rest of the show. But for being part of the NATO alliance, for providing ballistic missile defense to the continent of Europe, for being a huge part of assuring our allies that we are fully and totally committed to NATO and the defense of the rights and the way of life that NATO represents. So a lot of really cool stuff that's happening around here. So like I said, my favorite time of year, and then we got some really unique things happening this time of year that makes it even more interesting to me.
I know. Big part for us, I know, is going to be like the holiday season.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about September 11th as well as we continue on with the hour. But right now we're going to head a little bit into the music. Of course, we have I Can Do It With a Broken Heart by Taylor Swift.
One day. Those other two weekends.
7:18, and we are back with the CO. I know we have a few announcements that you wanted to put out, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to talk about before families really started getting their kids ready to head to school and stepped away from their radios, power pole maintenance. So this weekend, we are taking power down in housing. I know that's a huge inconvenience to a lot of families, but I wanted to explain why we're doing it on the weekends. I can't do it during the week because the way our grid is put together, if I take down power to housing, I take down power to the school too. So I couldn't take power down to the school in the middle of the week. That's why we had to pick a weekend. We pushed it later in the cycle. We've been doing power pole maintenance for a couple of weeks now. So if you've seen trucks kind of spraying water at our power poles, that part of our power grid was down as they were doing that maintenance. So we pushed it later in the year to try and make sure that we avoided a lot of the heat that we had. And I think this weekend's actually going to be pretty decent weather-wise. So not having the AC isn't going to be as much as an issue as it would be in like August when we started kicking this kind of stuff off.
Yeah. Just having some open windows.
Yeah, open the windows in the morning. Let the breeze blow through, blow out all those germs that the kids bring back from school. That's my plan this weekend. Also, MWR has put together a lot of stuff as we're taking power down. So you can go do some bowling. You can go see a movie. Both of those will be free. There's certain free showings, free times at the bowling alley. The pool's going to be open for you. And it's a great opportunity also to get out and just enjoy the community here for a little bit. I apologize for any inconvenience this brings to some of the families. This is one of two times that we're taking power down to the housing area. We have to do this to make sure that our power poles are ready for the rain when it comes. Mm-hmm. For anybody who's been here for a couple of years, you know, when we get that first light rain that comes through, what it does is it creates this conductive stuff, this goo from all the sand that's blown in, which has some conductive elements to it. So it creates this conductive goo and it lights our power poles on fire. It's the only place I've ever been where rain brings fire. And this way, as we clean these power poles off, when the rain comes through, it will avoid any of those unplanned power outages, some of the damage to our power poles that can really cause some issues for us. So it's us getting ahead of that to make sure that we control it, we make sure our stuff is safe, and then we can just kind of move on as the seasons really change over. Yeah. So that was one thing I really wanted to get out. Thank you for letting me have it.
Yeah, of course, sir, of course. And I know, like, we were on the subject of fire and, like, preventing it.
Yeah.
And we have some special guests with us here right now who are going to be going over a little bit of fire prevention and a few other key subjects throughout the hour. Feel free to introduce yourself. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you for having me here. It's good to be able to see the skipper and actually talk here instead of just answer all the questions at department head meetings and stuff. This is a really good format, so appreciate being here. Yeah, so I'm Richard Henderson. I go by the name of Hendo. I've been doing that. I inherited that name 30 years ago when I joined the fire service, and that's just been my name. And so appreciate you guys always calling me by Hendo instead of, like, Mr. Henderson or Richard or something else like that. So I grew up in San Diego, California, which was amazing. My dad brought me and my family there from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I think that was the best thing that ever could have happened to me, because in the early 80s and 90s, I got to learn how to surf and be at the ocean like almost daily. Growing up in Oceanside and Vista, California.
San Diego is amazing. I was born in San Diego too. So San Diego will always be near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. So you're living the dream. And it's a huge military environment. And it's such a great place to kind of grow up and live. And there I met my wife in elementary school, believe it or not, and then we went through like middle school and everything. We had a good relationship through high school. We got married at 19. Wow. We have three awesome kids. They're all out of the house. We've been empty nesters for almost 7 years now. And you get so much extra time when you're empty nester, you know, like you really have to like refocus your goals.
I've heard of that, but I've got an 8-year-old at home, so I think I have a little while.
It goes by quick.
And I'm it's sure like, it does. Yeah, they look so old right now. They're so grown up.
I'll watch our kids daily and talk to them on the phone all the time. But yeah, and then, you know, I joined the Air Force. The cool thing is I joined the Air Force when I was 19, too. I got married, joined the Air Force. And then I'm half Japanese. I'm half Okinawan. My dad met my mom in the Air Force and hence, that's why I'm half Japanese, half Okinawan. And then, so I joined the Air Force, and then I got an assignment to Yokota, Japan, my first assignment. And my wife was like, did you join the Japanese Air Force or something? Like, I go, no, we actually have American bases outside of the United States. And so that was kind of interesting. So my wife always thought I kind of messed up and joined the wrong, like, country service. So it's kind of a crazy story, but it is cool. And it's always been a lifelong dream to come to Spain. I'm so happy to be here. And this just seems like an amazing place. I think it's because there's so much sun here all the time.
Yeah.
So we get all that vitamin D. No matter who comes here, they could be like a mean, grumpy person. You come here to Spain and you just become like a different person, a nicer person. And we have such amazing people that we work with and live around.
We do.
So
yeah.
Very fortunate to be here, sir.
And I agree. I feel 100% the same way. I think there are so many people who want to come to Rota, who love being here, that we're just surrounded by folks who want to be here, who want to do good, who just want to do well. So this place is amazing. Yeah, got some amazing people. So who else is here with you? Who's keep sneaking towards the door, trying to get away from the microphone?
Well, I have a guy that I call him my fire prevention chief, and he is probably the most knowledgeable guy in fire prevention. He knows so much stuff about the NFPA, National Fire Prevention Protection Association codes and enforcement. Everyone on this installation knows this guy. His John Cruz.
Everywhere. Yep.
I call him Chief Cruz because he's so amazing at what he does. He could take off and go work at any region, any installation, and just be their focal point for fire prevention. And I think everyone on this installation knows him, loves him. I love him because he cares about people. I always love people that care about people, and JJ cares about people. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is John Cruz. They call me JJ. Like Chief Hendo has his nickname, I have mine as well. But yeah, I've been here a year and a half, or a little bit over a year and a half, and we love it. We're coming from Guam, and it's hot there, but coming over here, it's nice to experience it being hot during summer and enjoy the cold during the winter and the fall. And but really good team, like Chief said, really good team. Really good group of people, but yeah, people probably see me out there doing inspections and your public education classes, your ICR classes. That's where you'll probably see me the most. And I was just talking to the PAO, and I was like, I see your photographer everywhere, and I'm probably out there just as much as he is everywhere, just kind of making sure that we get out there, we kind of handle any kind of issues that we do have in regards to fire prevention and kind of preventing things from happening. And that's pretty much the program is to kind of prevent things from fires and just making sure that everyone's safe on the installation. But awesome time, awesome being here and being with the team. So, thanks for having us here today.
Yeah, of course. And I know you guys were talking about like what your main mission is, but what services does the fire department provide here on base?
Yeah, we provide services from shipboard firefighting, we do aircraft firefighting, structural firefighting. We work very closely with the hospital for medical response, and we were in a meeting yesterday. We have some people in town this week, and Rota's only going to get better with medical services. And before I even go any further, I just want to let everyone know here in the Rota community, they're in very good hands here with this fire department, how much they care and how skilled they are. And I looked through our response data, and we get everywhere on this installation. We're strategically located in different departments to be able to help anyone at any time. So you're in very good hands with this department. But also the focal point that Chief Cruz just said, he was talking about fire prevention, and that is our focal point. It kind of makes the guys on operations a little irritated because he's preventing all these fires, and they kind of like enjoy putting them out. But we don't get that opportunity that often here because Chief Cruz is so good at his job at preventing these fires and getting on people to correct these fire deficiencies and issues throughout the installation. But public education is another big piece. We talk about it and we say it real quickly, but it takes so many hours and there's so much time that that we spend just educating the public. We never turn people down for public education. But those are just some of the things that we do here.
And I know we have Fire Prevention Week coming up. Do you have a little bit more to say on that topic?
You know, that's why I have a prevention chief here today, because he set it up last year and he's setting it up this year. There's awesome events, and I know a lot of people are going to want to come out to the Fire Muster event at the NEX parking lot on the 9th. I don't have all the details. I know the guys from the fire department last year, they wore like tutus and stuff. I saw some videos, and they won, like they had some pretty crazy attire.
Yeah, with the fire truck pull? Yeah, that was something.
Yeah.
So if it's October 9th, if they were doing that, we'll actually have my boss here too. So we'll make sure that we invite him out to come see everything that you guys are doing.
That sounds like an amazing team right there, too. I'll let Chief Cruz explain some of the events we got going on.
Yeah, so this year Fire Prevention Week for 2024 kind of is going to be from October 6th to the 12th. And we have events lined up all week with static displays and public education classes. But the main event will be on October 9th at the NEX parking lot. We're going to be having muster events, static displays, and it's an opportunity. And if you were here last year and the years in the past, we had people from various commands sign up, and it was a good time for people to kind of get together, kind of go through the muster challenge, which, you know, to kind of experience how it feels to be a firefighter. I mean, pulling hoses, shooting some water, pulling a rescue mannequin, pulling a fire truck or bucket brigade, and things like that. So we have some information in regards to signing up. You could either come by to the fire station and sign up if any of the commands are interested. But yeah, it's on October 9th. Showtime is at 08:30. We're going to have a proclamation signing at 09. And then after that, around 9:30, we'll start the events. And we chose Wednesday just because the kids get out a little earlier. And so it's kind of an opportunity for them to come after school and take a look at the fire trucks, maybe sit inside it, see how the equipment works. We did it last year on Thursday because they got out early on Thursday. So we want the kids to come out. We want the kids to come out with their families, see the fire trucks. It's always nice to kind of have them sit in the fire truck and kind of imagine driving the truck and seeing the equipment, shooting some water. And we're going to have the little stations for them to be able to shoot some water, put out a little fake flame. We'll have extinguisher trainers, the simulation.
Good.
And they'll be able to kind of operate some of the equipment safely, of course. But yeah, it'll be an opportunity for them. So that will end around 1500. So events from 08:30 to 1500 all day at the NEX parking lot on October 9th.
I'm sure there'll be more information put out on that too. I know a lot of coverage is going to be done for it as well. But for right now, we're going to actually head right into a little song break. We got some Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee with Despacito.
You guys are nailing it with the family.
7:33, and we're back with the CEO with the Morning Joe. We're actually going to go over a little bit of an older topic we were discussing before. We have the September 11th run, kind of doing a little bit of a recap on what happened. And of course, we want to touch a little bit more with the fire department about what does September 11th represent for the firefighters.
Yeah, so on September 11th, we had the run, 9.11 kilometers, which, can you tell me a little bit about your participation? What did it mean for you guys?
Yeah, so first I would like to say Hayden Ballard, Chief, he's a petty officer first class, did an amazing job setting the event up, and Chief Taylor. And I just put a quick message up on WhatsApp to our department, and I didn't expect to get such a turnout. I went into the station at 6:30 in the morning, and it seemed like I almost had my whole department there. We walked down to the gym, and as we walked around the corner, we had a gigantic 100-foot flag hanging off the ladder truck that Hayden Ballard had put there. And it was lit up, and he had a lot of support too to do this, but it was lit up, and it just like sent chills down my body. Like, this is an amazing event. And there looked like there was 200 people out there. I think 150 people signed up. And I didn't sign up. None of the fire guys signed up. So there was I think about another 150 people showed up, didn't even sign up for the event. But it was like so awesome to see that unity. And it kind of remembered, like, during 9/11, we came together as a country, and it was like, man, we're coming together as a base from all different walks of life. People that weren't even alive maybe during that time or were in elementary school. We came together, and it was so unifying and cool to see happen. I wish it wasn't so far, though, because I was hurting for at least 2 days.
Yeah,
I got a blister 9.11 kilometers. The second mile in, I had a blister. I was hurting.
I heard a lot of people asking for 911 meters next time. Maybe a little bit. Yeah,
4 feet. We were thinking feet might be a little easier. A third of that.
I think it was supposed to be 9.11 kilometers, but I tracked it. I ran it, and it was a little over 6 miles. So we saw a table. We didn't know what the table represented, and we just kept running straight down. And so everyone's like, I don't think this seems longer than last year, and it was longer.
A little bit longer.
I tracked on my Garmin. It was like 6.12, and so it was a little longer than the 6.12 miles. It was a little longer than the 9.11 kilometers. So we were talking about maybe 911 steps, or something next year.
It was an inadvertent symbolism of how the fire department itself continuously just goes above and beyond everything that people would expect here, right? So, I mean, not to turn it into something too glib, but the support that you guys provide is absolutely phenomenal. I've told some folks every time I have the chance, the whole reason this base is here is to make sure that is the operational units are able to execute their mission, the ships, the aircraft, the expeditionary forces, that they are able to launch, to deploy, to leave, to go do their mission. And a big part of that is as they all go do their mission, they leave families behind. And knowing that their families are safe and secure is so important to them being able to focus on their job. So seeing you guys and your fire trucks, seeing you out there doing the fire prevention stuff, making sure that their buildings are safe, seeing out there doing the training stuff, seeing the fire trucks responding every time that there's an issue, it is a huge comfort to the families back here knowing that there's such an incredible team here who is supporting them. So I know when the operational forces leave, they're not worried about the hospital or the fire department or security here providing security for them. So thank you on their behalf for that. But what makes this team so special? What is it about this fire department that makes you guys so special?
You know, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I've worked in so many different fire departments, but I've never had a fire department where I have local nationals, U.S. civilian, and then I also have my ABH military firefighters. And I love having them because it makes me feel young again, and it reminds me of my time on active duty. And it gives us a chance to like mentor and develop people, because when you work in the civilian world, a lot of those guys don't want to hear from you. They don't want to be led. But the ABHs here and the firefighters are so amazing. And I always look forward to them getting out, too. If that's what they decide, that they're not making a career, if they are, that's fine, too. I try to help them either way, whatever they decide to do. But if they do want to make the transition, I love to scoop them up and send them to where I return back to, is Mayport.
Yeah.
And I like to send them to those locations because I have so many great people here. So. And then local nationals, anything we need here in Spain, it's like a brotherhood. We live together with our firefighters just as much as we live with our own families. So I have a family full of ABH firefighters, U.S. civilian firefighters, and local nationals. And it's so amazing to have that. I mean, but when I go back to Mayport, it's just U.S. civilians.
Yeah.
We don't even see each other off duty here. We always see each other. We take care of each other. If there's anyone has an issue, we help each other. I only have to ask you, sir, like, when people aren't getting paid, or I guess a big problem, or I have some trucks break down and some other things that you really need to be aware of. But yeah, it's just such a great team here.
It really is. I'm always impressed when there's any sort of firefighter get together, just how tight that team is, how it seems like, again, you guys genuinely enjoy being around each other on or off duty. And every time I go visit a fire station, I know it's never enough, but every time I go, it is a uniform team. It is the ABHs, the civilians, and our Spanish partners in the fire team. It is just one team. And not to go too much into the symbolism again, but every time you guys put on your actual suits, it's indistinguishable. You guys are a single team out there fighting those fires alongside, oftentimes, the Spanish firefighting teams here, the stuff the Armada brings, that the local community brings. Have you guys been able to do much training with the local Spanish firefighting teams or the Armadas firefighting teams?
Yeah, since I've been here for 10 months, and we've had 3 times we got to go on the Spanish ships, and it's never happened before,
That's great.
So we've got to do that. We have training with Rota City all the time. And also Rota City, last week we had Rota, and also the Spanish Navy Bomberos, and we got to come together and do some rescue training, which PAO covered again, always there for us. So thank you for
That's
being
cool.
here. And getting great coverage. So we get to do that all the time here, and it's so much of the stuff nobody even knows that's happening, but it's happening every day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing and it's shocking how busy this base is. Because when you're driving through, you're like, it seems kind of slow or something.
It can,
it's never
yeah.
slow.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think is like the total number of calls that you usually like get in a year?
So I know the details on everything because we have all that data. So I think we ran 450 calls last year. We're probably on track to run 450 to 500 calls this year. And it was probably like 600 or 700, but then Chief Cruz got here and he learned how to reduce false calls drastically. So we probably cut 100 or 150 calls. So he's doing a great job reducing the false calls. We don't like going to false calls anyway. Wake up in the middle of the night going to false calls. Most dangerous thing we do is responding to emergencies, just the driving, because we're in a hurry. We want to get there fast to help people. And just by reducing the false calls, you're really aiding firefighter safety and health, and also the community. Last thing we want to do is be speeding to a call.
Yep.
And it's very dark here in the morning.
It is very dark,
It's dangerous, and it's scary.
Yeah.
So those are things that we always have to reiterate to the firefighters.
Yeah,
so,
preserving our resources, making sure that they are available for the stuff that we need them for. Yeah, that's great.
And also kind of reiterates for everybody who is listening to our radio show, don't make false calls. Be sure. You don't want these people to show up at your house and then nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for wasting my time a little bit. We were in a bit of a hurry, almost caused an accident.
And not only that, but a little bit of the safety piece too. It is dark. Like right now, before we hit the time change, it is dark out there. So whether it's kids going to school, and yesterday I saw a couple of kids, probably high schoolers, on bikes, no lights on their bikes. I mean, so families, please get lights on your bikes. Make sure that your kids are being careful at the crosswalks and as they're walking towards school. And for people going out for a run in the mornings, put some reflective gear on, put something on so everybody can see you. Nobody wants to put themselves in danger or find themselves in danger. So let's do what we can just to be safe. Even after the time change in the middle of winter, it is just dark here in the mornings and after work. So please be safe out there when it's this dark.
And with that in mind, coming up, we're going to be going over a little bit more of a fun activity, a little bit of a challenge with our fire-themed tunes.
Yeah. Firefighters love challenges, I hear.
Oh, yeah. So let's make sure that you guys guess correctly when we go through. But right now, we got some Jennifer Lopez with If You Had My Love.
Yeah.
7:46, and we're back with the CO and the fire chief to play a little bit of a fire-themed game. We're going to be playing a song. You guys are going to take a guess on what it is. If you're wrong, we're going to go over to the next person for a chance to steal. And, of course, the person with the most points wins. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
All right. So, for our first song, feel free to take a guess.
Taylor Swift? I have no idea.
All right. Chief, what do you got?
I'm going to let Chief Cruz answer this.
I don't know. Alicia Keys?
That is Alicia Keys. Do you know the name of the song, though?
I'm assuming On Fire.
This Girl's On Fire.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. We got Alicia Keys with a girl on fire. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. It happens to the best.
I was going to say Rihanna. So
not this time. Not this time.
I'm so glad I say Rihanna.
All right. We got another one coming up right here.
Just say it.
Do you guys want to phone a friend here? I feel like we're taking a little bit of time.
What is this?
Fireball.
Fireball?
Fireball.
Pitbull.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're on our team.
Yeah, right.
She's closer. She's closer to my side.
Okay, we got PAO answering that question. I'm gonna give her a point just because I can. It's just taking you guys a bit of time, but don't worry. We still got two more songs that we're gonna be playing, enough to break a tie in case that happens. So of course, here's our next song.
I did tell you.
I don't know what this is.
We're empty nesters.
Are we going to need another phone a friend here situation? PO, are you going to take the win?
None of us know.
Yeah.
We're all out.
We need help.
Yeah.
No guess?
No guess.
Yeah. I guess we might be having a chance for a tie. This is Katy Perry with Firework.
Oh.
Popular song from Madagascar 3. I don't know if you guys remember watching that.
Not much into Katy Perry.
Sorry. All right. We do have one more song that we got for you guys. And, of course, this one's going to be a little bit harder. I was expecting a little bit more. But don't worry. I know a lot of our listeners know this song.
You know how old we are. We're a little older than ever.
I'll raise my hands.
All righty. CO's already with it. What do you got
for us? Well, you finally picked an old guy song. It's Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire.
There we go. Easy song. And you know what? I think I might have just one more. Oh, we have time for one more.
That's an amazing song.
So you guys just didn't know about any of those songs before? Or just didn't know about Katy Perry too much?
Yeah, yeah, we just need the older songs. We need some of the older stuff.
How much older are we talking here?
We're talking old. I mean, we told you about 9/11. We were actually on active duty, like, you know.
All right, then here, I'm going to challenge you guys with one more right here. So here we go. I hear we got a guess. CO, you want to try to take this one?
I'm guessing it's by Earth, Wind & Fire, but I don't remember the name of the song.
Yeah. This is That's the Way of the World. It is by Earth, Wind & Fire. I was thinking about playing September, but I was going to try to change it up. I know you guys like to say you got some older music to pick from, but don't worry. So that's going to cover the game. I do believe the CO wins by the point advantage here.
You get a half point. That's a half point.
I'll take the half point. Every little win I can get. I don't often win those.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
We all win.
We're all, like, all under that.
You're gonna be in good spirits later, department.
All right. So that's gonna be doing it for our game. But we still have a few things that we want to talk about as well. And I think we're just only able to scratch the surface of the CPO season.
Yeah.
And I know you talked about it early this morning, but for those who weren't listening or who were on their way, if you just want to give a little recap about what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. It is one of my favorite times of the year because every chief understands just how important the season is and just what it means to put on the khakis and the cover for the very first time. And today is the culmination of this year's season. So they're going through their final night. It started today, so final night's a little bit of a misnomer because it's really a day's worth of challenges as they are completing this season. And tomorrow is the highlight for them. So tomorrow morning, we have three different chief pinning ceremonies. The installation's got one at 9 o'clock. There's a couple of different units that are part of that one. It is not the Rota Grinder. I refuse to acknowledge that as the name of a place on the installation, but it is the field that is between the barracks right in front of the galley. If you guys have been to the galley lately, you've seen that there's already a stage out there. They got some stands. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, that's going to be probably the larger of the three chief pinning ceremonies that we have. HSM 79 I think over by HS-79 in one of their hangars in the flight line, they are doing their chief pinning ceremony there. And then EOD Mobile Unit 8 is also doing their chief pinning ceremony, I think in the same place that Rota is, just a little bit later at 10:30. And then I also know the ships have their own chief pinning ceremonies that they are conducting tomorrow as well. Sorry, I don't know what time they are, but I know the families and the chiefs themselves do know. If you have the chance to come to one of these pinning ceremonies, come take a look at it. If you're a young sailor who is not sure that the Navy is a career that you want to do, you're not quite sure where you want to go with it, you can come see what it looks like as you reach one of the most unique leadership milestones in all of the military, the transition to wearing khakis as an enlisted leader. It's incredibly powerful. You can see the pride that just emanates not only from the brand new chiefs, but from the rest of the mess, as they have the chance to welcome in the newest generation of leaders into the Navy. It is an amazing ceremony, and I urge anybody to come take a look at it and see what it's all about. And it is another, speaking of tying all the way back into the transitions we talked about very early this morning, I know a lot of the CMCs, some of the more experienced members of the mess know this Navy isn't really ours anymore. Right now, I'm just a steward. All I'm doing is making sure the Navy is ready for the next generation of leaders to take it where we need it to be. And this is a very visible, a very clear demonstration of the way that we transition, the way we continue to, we provide the continuity of leadership in the Navy. The mess is unique. Chief petty officers are unique in all of the military. Nowhere else do you go do you find this core of leadership that the most junior sailors and the most senior officers look to for leadership, for guidance, for mentorship. I love the season, obviously in part because my dad's a retired senior chief, but because over the course of my career, I've seen just how important and powerful the chief's mess is. So come on out and see it, everybody who has the chance. Come see this.
Yeah, and I think that should be also covering. I know we're coming up to the top of the hour. So again, if you guys have the time, come support your chief petty officers. They worked extremely hard. They did a lot of things you didn't even think that they would be doing. So again, give them a little bit of a shout out. Of course, for those who are going and who know their chiefs, who know them as first classes, just be there for support. It's a very important time. I know we'll be covering down for it as well.
Yeah, good.
So that's going to be doing it for now. But don't worry, we got one more song right here just to finish out the hour, selected by our own new DJ Hepburn. Of course, we have Fantastic Voyage by Coolio.